Hello and welcome back to the Ever-Changing World podcast. I'm your host, Ava Zanetti, and I've had way too long of a hiatus. I almost had forgotten how to even record a podcast and almost forgotten how to speak. As you can tell by me saying almost really wrong. Maybe that was intentional. We'll pretend it was intentional. But I've been gone for so long. I've been gone for a month. And I promised you guys that I would be doing pre-made episodes for this month. And clearly, I did not fulfill that promise. I could give you a million excuses, but really simply, I didn't have the time nor want to use the free time that I had to record four podcast episodes. I was getting ready for a month-long vacation, but it wasn't just a vacation. It was a life-changing experience, as we like to say, the place that I went. And maybe I'll gradually build this up, but I was gone for so long, not for my own pleasure, though I did have tons of fun, and I absolutely adored what I was doing. But I did it to learn, I did it to grow as a person, and I did it to transform my life. And I have to be really honest that I think I did a lot of that through the month of July, the 2022 month of July. So unfortunately, I didn't record a podcast episode for each week that I should have, but I think that today's episode needs to be explaining why I was gone and why it was so important that I was gone. And that is exactly what I'm going to be doing this episode. This episode's not going to be about anything news related, though there are tons of things that have happened while I've gone. I mean, the James Webb Space Telescope, an ongoing saga on this podcast, has done some amazing feats, and I really want to speak about it. But I'm not going to do that today because I have more important things to talk about. And really, that has been this whole entire month. And to be honest, I can't explain this whole month in just 1 hour podcast episode. This might be shorter than that, but I can't explain it in whatever time frame that I'm giving you. But what I can do is explain the big points, and what I can do is explain some experiences. So to start, I want to explain where the heck I've been in the first place and what this whole thing is. So I want to make sure that I'm, again, always explaining what I'm doing correctly. And what this program is, as some of you may or may not know, I am a 16-year-old, I'm going into grade 11, and I am super into STEM and entrepreneurship, and this is exactly what this program is. So this program is called SHAD. If you don't know, I live in Canada, and this program currently is only available to Canadians because of COVID, though usually it's open to international students as well. And what this program is, in a nutshell, it's grade 10 and 11 students, so I could apply this year since I was in grade 10, that go away for the month of July for some sort of life-changing experience that involves STEM and entrepreneurship, leadership, teamwork, and just the whole bit. And this experience taught me a lot, and it teaches a lot of people a lot. And a little bit of a synopsis, I guess, on the technical side of it. This year, at least, there were 18 host universities. And these all have something a little bit different to them. And all these universities are within Canada, from the east to the west to the east coast. And I got placed outside of Ontario. Thankfully, I live in Ontario, if you didn't know that. And I got placed at the University of New Brunswick, which is obviously in New Brunswick. It's in Fredericton, the capital. And that's where I got placed. So you don't exactly get to pick what campus you go to. You technically aren't supposed to be doing that. But what they do is once you get in, I'll explain the application process in a moment. Once you get in, you get a B, and C tier list. So basically, you rank all 18 in this kind of fashion, certain number for each. And I rated all the Ontario universities in C, and some led into B. And that's because I just didn't want to be in Ontario. And then luckily enough, in A, I got all non-Ontario schools, and I got to go to UMB. So let's backtrack a little bit. Let's talk about the application process of SHAD. SHAD's this really, really big thing. And even before I talk about that, let me get into why SHAD, I guess, in a sense. So in grade 7, and a really amazing teacher, Mr. Manikanen. And he really transformed the way I thought in my life in a lot of ways. I had a lot of teachers like that, but Mr. Manikanen was one of them. He was retiring that year. It was his last year. And he was also my robotics coach. So the whole big thing is the grade 7s and 8s were the older ones. And I was in grade 7, of course. And we had this whole competition about who would get on the big team representing our school. And there were 5 positions. 3 went to grade 8s. And I was one of the grade 7s who got in. And I was the only girl on the team. And I remember that vividly. And I remember that being such a big accomplishment. And Mr. Manikanen being a pillar of that accomplishment. And him helping me get there. And being a mentor, a coach, a teacher, all in one. And he did truly teach me tons. So Mr. Manikanen, actually, at one point, he pulled me aside. And I don't know what exactly he was pulling people aside for, but he pulled me aside. He said, Ava, there's this program called SHAD. I know it's very, very, very far away. You know, it's, you're only in grade 7, it's grade 10 or 11, it's far away, but you should do it. And I remember at the time, agreeing with him and thinking it is very, very, very far away. Grade 10 sounds so old. Grade 11 sounds so old. And it went like this. It went in a snap. And here I am, just finished the month at SHAD, which was quite the stark difference. So really, I've been hearing about this program for a long time. And when I heard about this program, actually, I remember going home, looking it up, and for weeks, I just kept looking at this program, looking at videos online, looking at YouTube videos. I have this personality where I obsess on things that I want to do, and SHAD was one of those things. I obsessed over this podcast, and, you know, I obsess over it, I get over the obsession, but then it just becomes part of my life, and that has been what this is doing. So, yeah. This program has been in my mind for years, and I knew I needed to apply. So the application process, in a nutshell, you put in your average, you put in where you go to school, you put in all your extracurriculars. I find that's one of the most important parts. It's really like a college application. And you also do essays. And I think my essays were pretty strong. I really enjoyed them. I don't think I'll read them today, but, we'll see if I want to do a whole SHAD application video. Might have to save that for a university application video in, 2 years' time. 2 years' time, I can give you guys a video all about university applications and my process. But I can't do that right now. And I can't talk about SHAD. So really, this whole idea of SHAD is just this whole idea of just this life-changing experience. And I got to go to UMB. So I don't really want to get into, it's so hard because I have so many memories being at UMB that I can't even really begin to start everything that I went through. But going through it, I got there and we had some COVID restrictions. And I remember it being very busy. The SHAD program is very busy. And I don't want to give away too much about the SHAD program. But the SHAD program is very, very busy. And that's part of the fun. It is part of what makes it interesting and amazing and all of these other things. So I get there, and the whole idea of SHAD is that you don't, it's hush-hush. You don't get to know anything. And that's part of one of the big life lessons that we learned. Because, you know, they bring this group of really high-achieving students, right? I met kids who were amazing speed skiers, who had created these crazy nonprofits, who maybe just simply had amazing grades, but did so in just an interesting and compelling way. And I met kids who really just, all in all, were extremely ambitious and driven. And I could relate to that. I could relate to being ambitious and driven. And when you're in that environment, these types of students, myself included, really want to know about the future. We want to sit here and we want to think, okay, what's next, right? Even in my day-to-day, even though I've been learning not to do that, I was thinking, you know, I was at work today and I was thinking, okay, when I get home, you know, I need to do this, and then I need this, and then I need this, and then I record my podcast, and then after my podcast, I gotta do this, and even as I'm recording this podcast, I'll slip into my mind and think, okay, what do I need to do next? But then I realize, especially through Shad, that I need to take a step back, and I need to think, okay, do I need to think about this right now? This is going to be no help if I think about this. It's going to be no help to future me if I think about this. Because it's going to happen anyways, so you might as well enjoy the moment. And I learned a lot about that. In the end, the idea too, and I remember some of our PAs, or our program assistants, saying was, the whole point is adapting and overcoming. And that really had struck me. And it had really, really, you know, made me realize the importance here. And I realized that this adaptation and overcoming in this way and not understanding why you're doing things is important. Because in life, you aren't going to have a compass. You aren't going to have a guide. You can't just pull out a newspaper or a proper guide and just think, you know, hey, this is what my life is going to look like. It's what really is important is realizing that you might not have a guide in life and you're going to have to learn how to get through it in that regard. So I learned a lot about that. And jumping into Shad, that was one of the first lessons that I learned. Because when they posted what we were doing each day, they didn't post what we were doing each day. We sat there and all day, we didn't know what was happening. All we had was a piece of paper that was posted at 11 o'clock at night usually, or even sometimes 5 minutes before lights out, which was 11:30. And we would go, we would look, and we would see, oh, we have lecture, workshop, activity. And those were the only words that we got. But I really loved that. And I missed that in a way. Because I realized how important it was to go into things blind, not put expectations, not put previous judgment on things. Because you learn how to love it. You learn how to enjoy it in the moment. Because when you don't know what's going to happen before, you can't get too excited or you can't get too disappointed. And you're actually experiencing it as it should firsthand without thinking about all these other outside factors. So I found that to be really important. That was one of the great lessons as well. Although it was annoying in the moment, and I'm going to be very honest, I was very annoyed in the moment. It was very, very valuable. So what happened after that, we learned a lot of people's names in the first few days, I will say that. But I had an amazing lecture on actually the first day, not including the day I got back from the airport, because I didn't really write much that day. I just said we walked around campus and we learned names. But day one, I wrote the proper day one. For some reason, I went to the gym in the morning. I don't know why. But we did more name learning, but I had an amazing lecture, an amazing lecture. And this was by an engineering professor at UMB. And his whole story was that he didn't want to know what he wanted to do with his life. He put it in this generator when computers were just first starting to arise. So they weren't really computers, they were kind of computers. And he put it in and he tried and he looked. And he got a spit out information. He did all these questions, a bunch of questions. I think it was like pages worth of questions. And he put it in, he put his answers in, and then it had to print out, right? And I printed out question by question with answers. And then finally at the end, little print, it told him what he should be. And it said, aerospace engineer or boat driver, or something along the lines of that. It was obviously quite laughable because this machine wasn't telling him what he needed to do. But he didn't have time. He trusted this machine. So he went with engineering. And the place he went to didn't have aerospace engineering, as you know, it's not really a popular course in university. And he ended up going and he decided to do mechanical. And he realized while he was there that he hated it. He absolutely hated it. And he decided that he actually loved chemical engineering. And that's kind of how he ended up that way. And then he actually went into contracting at one point. And you know he's a professor, as I mentioned, so why is he not contracting anymore? He actually was walking into a Sobeys, and an old professor walked out, and he told him, "We need more professors. Come work for us. We need professors. Everyone's retiring. There's a mass retirement." So this whole story, now he's a professor. This whole story, it isn't his life story about why, he's a chemical engineer turned professor turned, "I thought I was going to be aerospace because this computer told me." The whole point of this lecture was the power of not having a plan and letting opportunities arise to you and being open-minded. And then he showed us some statistics, and it showed how young children and adults have the same values, yet teenagers don't. Teenagers have values of the top two values in a job was, or a career, was one, no debt, two, making lots of money. And in young children and adults, young children who don't know anything about money, really, and why it might be important, and adults who have gone through making money and maybe making lots, maybe making less, and realize the importance of that, they said, one, fun and work, and two, free time. So really, when we look at this, when I'm in my stage of life, when I'm a teenager, I'm at this point, where I'm at this perspective where the rest of my life doesn't care about these two things. Yeah, myself right now does. And that was another really important statistic. So really, I loved this lecture. He talked even more, but I want to get to other lectures. So he talked about this. And then afterwards, we had a lecture by our program director. And our program director started talking about anti-cancer radiopharmaceuticals, which is very interesting, but it actually was very similar to the first lecture that we had. And what he was talking about, this was the quote-unquote just say yes lecture. And as you can already probably see, there's a big correlation as, he said a lot about it. He ended up talking, our program director, ended up talking about the power of saying yes. So he kind of started with his story, saying that he was a really, really, really horrible wrestler. But what he did was every time they said do 25 push-ups, he did 26. Every time they said do etc. He did one more. And he got better. And he actually got pretty good. He ended up going to university. And he ended up just kind of saying yes to everything. And letting life take him where it should go. He also sprinkled in his crazy anti-pharmaceutical device in this lecture, which was also very interesting. But really, this whole point of this just say yes is that he ended up, and he had wrestling, but on the weekends and the mornings, he would do the labs and that's how he went into chemical engineering. He also thought mechanical, but then he realized, he saw the third-year courses, he realized that chemical was the way to go. So this other idea, again, this idea of just say yes or not having a plan was really valuable in letting life take you where it should go. So that was really important, and that was really interesting. So, day two, I'm not sure if we have anything super specific here. We had a really fun lab making a studio home speaker. And I don't want to get too much into each of these because if someone from new UMB is listening to this, I actually don't want to get into it. So maybe I'll scratch some of the things I was going to talk about. But we had another thing with the first professor, the chemical engineering professor. And we did even more. We talked about actually meta-ignorance, which I think was very interesting. And as well, the way we solve problems and the way we think about problems and also the way we think about ourselves and all these other things. So that was very interesting. And we did a lot of workshops too at SHAD. We did a lot of team building, a lot of really interesting workshops that I think really did bring me closer to the community. SHAD has five main values. The values are diversity, community, excellence, responsibility, and if I forget this one, that's not good. It was responsibility, community, excellence. Responsibility, community, excellence, diversity, and responsibility. I think that's right. Community, excellence, responsibility, diversity. Yes, that's right. I said them. I've said them multiple times. I don't know what's going on. There we go. There we go. All right. That was a really interesting. So, anyways, I'm so sorry. That was dead air for a few seconds there. I was just looking at my notes from Chad, and I realized how much I wrote and how much I have to get through. And I'm only on day three. So, anyways, the Chad values are those. And really, we did everything with these different Chad values, with all five of these Chad values. And I thought that was, again, very interesting. And I thought I learned a lot through that. Another part of Chad that everyone does know about, so I can't speak about it, is the design team projects. These are the pinnacle of Chad, I would say. Kind of like the backbone of it. Basically, what these are is you get into a group, and actually, we didn't really get to choose our groups, but I'll explain that after. And you focus on one really broad topic, and then every group chooses a really small topic within that. So what we did is we all pitched a question, and our main topic for this year, every year it changes, our main topic for this year, it was well-being for Canadian teens. Our small, minute problem, my group's, was how to solve financial literacy in teens. So that whole month of July, we would have, a few hours each day. Really, our campus didn't have that much time, to be quite honest, but we had a few hours each day to work on this problem, develop it, etc. So that's exactly what we did. We worked on pitches, we worked on this, we worked on that. So we got into these groups, and they basically picked them by us ranking them, etc., based off these different pitches. And that was a big pinnacle of it. And I will explain that as I go through the different days. So of course we had more lectures, and I don't want to get through every lecture because they weren't all my favorite. But we had a lot of fun too. We got to, meet each other and have fun with each other, and that was really, really interesting. We also had some really interesting lectures, and another interesting lecture that I want to talk about was the xenotransplantation lecture. And this lecture was again by our program director, and he loves to jump between different topics in his lectures, and I think we had four lectures by him, and I loved every single one of them the most, I would say. Actually, maybe not the most, but loved them very much, dearly, dearly. This lecture bounced between different things, but the main part of this lecture was this whole ideal of these morals, and these morals were based off this topic of xenotransplantation. So xenotransplantation is, in a nutshell, or at least the way we were looking at it, was taking an animal, taking someone who needs a kidney, a heart, etc., transplant, taking a swab of their DNA through their cheek, right? And then taking that, genetically modifying an animal or a pig, creating a pig is what we were looking at specifically, but an animal. Pigs are very similar to humans. And using that animal to harvest those kidneys and putting it in the humans. But the issue with this, right, because of course, kidney, heart, all these different transplantations, they have really, really, really big issues with rejection, and also the wait lists are insanely long. So if we create, this perfect, scholarship, then, or this perfect, sorry, pig, or this perfect animal, then, what else, would we need? But the issue with this, there was another issue, and the issue that swooped in, because yes, it sounds all great that we can create these pigs, the big issue was that xenotransplantation is risky. And it's risky in the sense that pigs have a different type of HIV than humans. They have their own pig HIV. And if we inserted a organ into a human, and there was the possibility of that pig having pig HIV, it would create a new pandemic. But that's just a possibility. So that's where the argument came in. So all this took a different side. I took the side of the Ministry of Finance. As you can tell, I like finance. I can tell by my podcast as well, probably, but I love science too. I took the Ministry of Finance, And, you know, we looked at these issues, etc. And what we did is, well, the first day we kind of talked about it and we learned. And then we had to do this Parliament Hill, this, you know, government style debate. And the government was on one side, the critics were on the other side, then the voters were walking around and trying to convince us. And then we actually had a town hall debate. We, as the government, said that it should be legal under restrictions. We had a town hall debate, and of course, under old government fashion, the Prime Minister, which was one of us, shot himself in the foot. The critics just criticized our point, but didn't add anything to the argument. They didn't actually add an ulterior solution. They just basically tried to shoot us down. And then we lost. The government, nothing happened. And that was really a great representation of the government, which I thought was very funny that it played out exactly as the government would. And I think that was a really big indication on what the government is like, and that was really, really funny. I think that was one of the other big highlights was the xenotransplantation argument, debate, and that was really big. So yeah, that was one of another amazing thing that happened at SHAD. As you can tell, we do a lot. And actually, I'm really skipping over a lot right now because I don't want to spoil things, and two, there's way too much to talk about. But that was the xenotransplantation. We also went out to places, and I won't talk about going out to places, but one of the places we went to was Alma. Alma has, make sure this is right. Alma, let's see. Alma has some interesting things about it, and I want to make sure I get it right. But they have some of the highest tides. I want to make sure I get this statistic right. Alma, New Brunswick has really high tides. I know that. Tides. I don't know if it's the biggest. So the Bay of Fundy is best known. So the yeah, Fundy tides are the highest in the world because of a new combination of research, the shape of the bay. So I believe these are the highest tides in New Brunswick or in Alma or close to. They're very high tides to say the least. And when we started the day, you could walk out for, you know, a few kilometers, and by the time we left, only a few hours later, where we were standing was covered and swarmed in water, and that was really interesting. So this town was very small though. Only about 200 people, but it was really, really interesting. We also learned a lot about the Bay of Fundy, which I won't get into, but talking about the Moncton Chocolate River was interesting. Maybe go look that one up. And as well, all of the crazy tides that we learned about and the history of the French and New Brunswick. So we did that. We also went to an art gallery in New Brunswick, and we got to see a work by Dali. And that was really interesting. It was humongous, and that was amazing. And we did some other stuff. We did some other stuff, and I won't talk about the other stuff. And then we were also again, once again, going back and talking about our pitches. And then we also did a really fun physics lab with an amazing teacher, and we talked about particle theory, quantum mechanics, the whole idea of particles. You probably know about it. You know, when you look at the particle, it goes away and all it acts differently, all these different things. We did that as well, and I really did enjoy that. As I'm reading this, I realize how fast and short the month is, but also how long the month was. And the whole quote in chat actually is it's the longest, shortest month, and I cannot emphasize that more. It really is the longest, shortest month. The days are long, but everything else is short. It goes by in an instant. We did some other fun stuff though. And we did a lot of design team, actually, I'm realizing. Lots of lectures. And we did some really cool things. We did some Tinkercad. We did a lot of actually fitness, which surprised me. And we also had a really cool presenter. We had a few cool presenters, a few cool panels. One of them was the wellness, which we had a panel with a few people. One of them, which was Patrick Lohr, who sold ice stock to Getty Images, so obviously a very wealthy man who works in venture capital, and that was really interesting. And he had a lot of interesting things to say about entrepreneurship, etc. And then another lecture that we had, which I got a little bit of a cameo in because you could ask questions, was a national lecture once again. So these lectures were on Zoom, but everybody from all the campuses could see it. This was with Dr. Tony DeMille, who was a human rights lawyer, and I got to ask her a question. And my question was, what does a hopeful future look like, and how can our generation create that? And that was really interesting. And I was able to kind of shoot that out there and ask that question out there. So that was really fun to ask that question as well. The lecture was amazing, and she spoke about really important and broad issues that were very, 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 very valuable. And then actually, one of the places that me and my friends visited, my friends and I visited, outside of the programming when we had some shad time, quote unquote, so you can do what you want, was the Beaverbrook Room. Beaverbrook was this really important man in New Brunswick, very wealthy, very influential man in Fredericton. And he has a lot of things named after him, and one of which was this room. This room was all of his books in the exact order, and he donated it to the UMB library. And this room is red, and it's very nice looking, very pretty. And it has all these amazing, amazing books that sit there all in the order of what he had. And actually, a lot of the books I really enjoyed and I want to read. So that room was very interesting in its history, as well as just seeing all the books and how well-cultured this man was very valuable. And I would love to have a library just like his, just like that one. So yeah, we did more design team. I realized like we did a lot of design team. Another interesting lecture was Nuclear Waste Management. NWMO is this really interesting company based in Toronto that is working with throwing away our nuclear waste, and kind of sounds like this. They kind of sounds like they were just throwing it into the ground, but they actually have this really important proper system where they, you know, captivated all the radioactive materials and these little, you know, cusps and then putting it under and et cetera, et cetera. And it was really interesting to see because it was really important. And that was one of the most valuable things about it, is that we do need to get rid of this radioactive material in a safe way. And one of these ways is storing it underground, which was interesting. And we did have a lot of questions about it, to be honest, but I think that was very valuable. All right. Another really interesting lecture that I really loved. I love space as well, as you guys know, as I talked. I started this podcast talking about the James Webb Space Telescope. Is the CubeSat that UMB is making. So what a CubeSat basically is it's this little satellite that is the palm of your hand. Though UMB is doing one that's two palms of your hand, pretty much. You can hold it out in your hand. If you clasp them together, it's a little bit longer. And it's this really interesting engineering project where UMB is looking at observing the ionosphere, I believe it was. Basically, it just hitches a ride with a rocket, and then it observes whatever area they're looking at. It can kind of work for 6 to 18 months. And they're building this 2U, is what it's called, is how big it is. And they can't, you know, do certain things or else they'll damage the ISS. So it's very, very interesting. And they actually had to partner with the Canadian Space Agency to do so. So I believe almost every province in Canada is represented by a CubeSat and is represented by space. And that was very interesting. And so it's called Violet because that is the flower of New Brunswick. So they were looking at the ionosphere and they're going to be observing that through this little CubeSat, this little satellite. And that was very interesting. So, moving on, we had another really cool lecture about defense polymers. This was about creating, using science, using chemistry to create these defense polymers, and against moths, so against these, things like, these gaseous things that go on in war, and, you know, these heavy gases like mustard gas, etc. Right now, currently, these are used, they are taken out by throwing cat litter and burning things. Obviously, we don't want that. So, actually, it was at UMB, they created this, you know, interesting complex structure that absorbs it, and it expands, and it can shrink, and absorbs this gas, so people obviously aren't breathing it in, and it's not getting on really expensive equipment, etc. So, that was also really interesting. We also did some really interesting nursing labs. We saw some of that stuff, and I realized I probably don't want to be a doctor. So, I think that narrowed things down. And we did do a lot of lectures once again. This day was a busy lecture day, I'm realizing, but we did a lot of lectures based off of entrepreneurship And then we had another Just Say Yes, Just Say Yes Part 2 with our program director. And we talked about the Mars Observer mystery, which is so interesting because this, you know, this man has lived a million lives. He obviously did anti-cancer pharmaceuticals, but he also, he talked more about his life, but he also, by just saying yes, of course, had the opportunity to work at NASA. He's a chemical engineer. He worked at NASA to, he can say it now, so it's not confidential. I'm not saying his name, obviously. But he was able to observe what happened to the Mars Observer, the one that people thought maybe an alien took it. Obviously, an alien didn't take it. But he looked at this, and what basically happened in a nutshell is that they used a new material. They used titanium, actually, on the rover, and they didn't test it out because titanium was very, very expensive. But they didn't test it out to see if there'd be any issues, and of course, there were issues. So when they tested over, they didn't really know what was happening, and, they didn't really know what was happening with the rover. They didn't know why it blew up, or it flew away, or whatever the heck happened, because they didn't test out this titanium, and really, they could have solved this issue by testing it out, but titanium was expensive, so, you know, cutting corners isn't always good, and that was another lesson throughout the month, was shortcuts cut short, and I think this story says it quite nicely, the Mars Observer, because they did cut short a little bit by not testing it, and that obviously hurt them in the end. So yeah, we had more lectures, we went somewhere else, we went to the St. John campus, which was interesting, and we saw a lot of medical things going on there. We also went to see a geopark, and what was really interesting, so if you know, or maybe don't know, all the continents originally were one, and this was called Pangaea, and New Brunswick was actually basically in the middle of Pangaea, and then it broke off, whatever, we split into the continents we know and love today. Where we went, the specific place we went to, actually had pieces of both, I believe it was, South America and North Africa, because of Pangaea, and you could see the color differentiation. There was one really light gray, really dark, one really dark gray. We got to see South America and North Africa, all in New Brunswick. We got to visit the world all in New Brunswick, and that was so interesting. I'm not a huge geology fan, but I think that this month really showed me how interesting it is to see geology. Being a huge space fan, I think it also showed the importance of geology, because geology does show the history of our world, and we wouldn't know much about anything if we didn't look at the geology. There's only so much you can predict with flying, moving objects in space. Looking at what's here on Earth that we can touch and tangible is also really valuable. So yeah, it was called the Stonehammer Geopark, if you are curious. So we also went somewhere else again, and we went to St. Andrews. We got to go see some cool stuff there. We talked about whales. That was another day. We talked about going to St. Andrews. And then we had some fun. That was the debate day as well that I already spoke about, the xenotransplantation. And then we went to St. Andrews. we went to the Huntsman Marine Center, and we did a lot of really cool stuff there. We got to see their really cool seals. I love the seal, snorkel, and Loki. But we also got to learn about the plankton and, we got to look the microscope of the plankton. We also got to go out into the water. Actually, we were at low tide when we left. Once again, the water was super high. We were right beside Maine, actually. We were basically waving to our American neighbors. And we did some, like, we picked up crabs and this invasive species that's there, we were tagging, so they can keep track of the crabs, etc. So we had a lot of fun there, and that was really interesting, and we learned a lot about the invasive species and how it really does attack, and we can't really do much about taking them away, but we can try and protect what we have here, but it's been around forever, and it's just something as simple as just, you know, a few hundred years ago really does affect us today and affect the world today in a big, big, big way. And we just had a lot of fun in St. Andrews, so I won't really speak much about that. And I also had my birthday, actually, at Chad. And this day was actually really fun. We did a lot of cool stuff. We had some lectures, of course, about pitches and all that. We had a lecture about geolocation and geometric engineering. And there we kind of took a little compass, if we want to call it that. I feel like I need to use the right word. We used a machine, I guess, that we're able to track all the stakes. There were a bunch of stakes in the ground, all over the UMB campus, and we had to track it. We had to track what it like the identification, and then we would find on the little wooden pole a letter, and then we would write that down. So that was really interesting, actually, tracking and doing all of that. It was a very hot day, I remember that, but it was fun for the competition, and I really did enjoy the hunt and search and all of that. The rest of the day, we had a really cool biomedical engineering, where we got to see a really cool mechanical arm that we got to hold. We saw some really cool things and really cool machines that they have in the biomedical engineering building at UMB. And all of these, were kind of taking weight off people, or you stood on it and it tracked, where you were, your weight was leaning on, etc. And then we had another interesting lecture, and we were supposed to go see the stars, but then we had an astronomy lecture. As we know, again, I love space, and this lecture was so amazing. We were talking about two-eyed seeing, and this was with the indigenous peoples and the knowledge of them, but also the knowledge of just ancient times and the way they looked at the stars and how that can help us today understand the stars and understand the movement using the science we know today. So we talked about that, and we also talked about the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada, and as well a total solar eclipse that'll be happening in 2024. So a lot of really cool things happening in astronomy, and honestly, it was a great end to a great day. And then the next day, I want to skip through some of this, but we had a really cool lecture. We had a lot of really cool lectures, but we had another really cool lecture, and this was with one of the coolest professors, and he was talking about, once again, how to live your life, and I really enjoy these ones. He gave a lot of really great advice, and he gave, I believe it was seven different, points, and, some of these were as simple as, like things like never be late or never, always show up kind of things, but also really valuable. And he was a very funny professor, so that made it very interesting. So we did some other interesting things. Our program director had another lecture. And this is actually the idea of circles, the idea of perfect circles, but the idea that we thought everything spun around in a circle. And the idea of young people making crazy changes, and the idea that, let me get the exact quote. I actually wrote down quotes from this month. And the idea that orbits are ellipses, not circles. And this lecture kind of showed that idea that, we thought that every orbit was a circle. We thought all these things were circles. We had everything that perfect was circles. But it's actually ellipses all along. And one, we didn't want to doubt our ancient ideals and thoughts. Two, we thought we were too young to doubt these ancient ideals and thoughts. And three, we tend to just believe things and not question them. And that was a really interesting part of the lecture. And that idea of that, the orbits are ellipses, not circles. And he, our program director talked a lot about, even these really brilliant people, they thought that it was a circle, even though it wasn't. And until some young guy doubted it, young person came up and doubted it, we would have still thought we were in a circle, orbiting in a circle. And that was really interesting. And also the other idea too, that we want to prove to ourselves that we are right, no matter if it's true or not, especially the older we get, and that clouds our judgment. And this has implications on what we do and what risks we take. So being young and making change in the world is so valuable. We also did some interesting things with geology and water hydraulics. We did some interesting kinesiology things. We did more DT work, of course. And we saw some ocean mapping things. That was also really interesting. Only 20% of the ocean is mapped, by the way, if you want to know that fun fact. And we got to see some really cool parts of the UMB building, which I really loved, and some really cool parts of the engineering building. And since UMB is on the Bay of Fundy and on an ocean, they do a lot with marine life and a lot with ocean mapping, and it's really cool the things that they've been doing with that. Another really cool thing is we went to the cell lab, and then we also got to do a VO2 max test. I was lucky enough, one of the lucky two that got chosen to do it. Because of my marathon running, I was able to do it. And I actually had a really good VO2 max. It was, if you're curious, 46 milligrams per kilogram per something. I forget what it is exactly. But I was in the highest category for my age range and all these different factors. So that was really cool. It's a cardiac test, of course, because I was a runner, I did it. So I absolutely adored it, of course. And we also did some other cool things. We got to see a real robot, and we all got to do things with stacking blocks with it, and then also writing things out. And that was part of the other days. We also got to see more chemical engineering. We did some more labs, which was really fun. We did practice pitches, and we went to downtown Fredericton at one point, which was really fun. And we got to work more on our design team, and then we actually got to present our design team, and we got to plan our final banquet day, which I helped with decorations, which was very stressful, to be honest. And we did more lectures, actually. We had one more lecture, a big one, about kind of the satirical look on, he's talking about his ideas of how the dinosaurs died. And it was a satirical bit, and that was really interesting. It was a play on, you know, how we think about science and all of these different factors. And we also got to do other cool things. We got to go and look more at geology, a place called Odell Park, and there's also a lot of really interesting things going on there. And then our last day, we did a lot of really fun stuff, and of course a lot of community building. So all in all, being a Shad alum now, being a few days out of being a Shad alum, as I came home on the, 29th of July, I'm recording this on the 2nd of August. Being a Shad alum, this outside perspective, I really have to say that this month has been life-changing. I have learned so much about myself, so much about other people, so much about what I want to do with my life, but not only that, so much clarity. I realize how important it is to not have a plan. I realize how important it is to live in the moment. I also realize how important it is to take risks and do crazy, cool, fun things. Yes, grades are amazing and important, and I want to keep those up, but if I have extra time to do a really cool project, why not? Take that risk. Do these crazy, cool things, because you never know where it's going to take you in life, and you never know who is listening, who is watching, and you also never know what opportunities are out the corner, so find opportunities, take them. And you never know what you're going to be doing with your life. And I think that is really one of the most valuable things I learned. Other very valuable things I learned were the values of shortcuts don't cut short. Or shortcuts cut short, sorry. Shortcuts cut short. I almost said the opposite thing. That's actually a quote that they said a lot. And it's important. Because they do. And they catch up to you. These shortcuts do catch up to you. Another really interesting thing, too, that our program director said was, we don't often get bored enough to be creative. We're so distracted nowadays with technology and our phones and all these other amazing things that are going on, but we don't have enough time to sit and ponder the questions that we should be pondering. We're worried about all these silly little things. We should be worried about the bigger things. And I think that was very valuable. So all in all, I could talk about Shad for days, years. I'll be talking about it for days and years, but I need to stop myself, and I need to say, truly, if you're a Shad alum, congratulations, keep in the network, keep talking to people, keep meeting people, just say yes, and if you're not a Shad alum, become one, go to Shad, learn about Shad, and let that month change your life, as well, if you're out of the loop, if you can't go to Shad, even though, you know, maybe you're too old, go become a program director, or a program assistant. Go do things like that, or take these values that I've given you today and apply them to your life. So all in all, Shad has been truly life-changing, and I can't thank Shad enough for everything that I've done, and all the things I'll experience, and I truly had an amazing time. So all in all, I'm so sorry, guys, that I've been off for a month, but hopefully this episode clears things up about why I was gone so long, and why I'm so reflective today. So please connect with the Instagram, which is at ever.changingworld, again, ever.changingworld. The Twitter is everchangingwor, again, everchangingwor. Website is shows.acast.com/ever-changing-world, again, shows.acast.com/ever-changing-world. Thank you all so much for listening. Please tune in next week, which there will be an episode, and stay follow to stay updated. And The world is always changing.